This meeting is now being recorded.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Today's call is the Support Organisation and Advisory Committee Accountability Subgroup meeting number 27, being held on the 3rd of August at 1900 hours UTC. A little bit of administration to begin with, calling for anyone who is only on the audio channel, who's only on by phone, to let themselves be known. Not hearing anybody, we will take our roll call from the Adobe Connect room, and staff will note any apologies that have been taken to the list in addition to that. I'd also like to ask now, is there anybody who needs to make a change or let us know of anything substantial that is affecting the work we do in their statements of interest? Again, not hearing anybody there. Nothing particularly has obviously changed in our lives. I will move on now to the main part of the meeting. Just if I can remind you all, for the sake of our transcript, if before you speak, if you're making an intervention, if you could state your name, and if you can speak as clearly as possible, that will help. And apparently my line is not particularly good, so if staff can let me know if the quality drops at any time, that would be appreciated. Today we're going to be continuing our work, as you can see from our relatively simple agenda that we started at our last call. And with that, we'll take a moment just to review our agenda, which is a continuation on our review of public comments and our development of our final recommendations. Is there anybody who has any suggested changes to this agenda, or if they'd like to let us know of any other business at this stage? We will call for any other business again at the end of the call. Let me know now. And with that, we will now run with our agenda. We have Steve Fosner and myself here today, and we will be sharing the role as we usually do. But to begin with, I'm actually going to hand over to Steve, who's going to give us a very quick review of our last meeting. And of course, the only action item out of our last meeting was for some interaction on our list with the upgrading and change and comments to our document, and we did manage to eventually wrangle a little bit of that out. But it certainly wasn't as active as we had hoped, so towards the end of the call, we'll see if we can inspire everyone to be a bit more interactive. Over to you, Steve.
Thank you, Cheryl. This is Steve Del Bianco. The action item on our last call was with me, and it was to circulate the essence of our dilemma on what to do about meeting records for closed and open meetings, and the process about how the individual constituencies, stakeholder groups, ACs, and SOs make the decisions about closing meetings. I think that I could summarize that we were all of a mind that the ACs, SOs, and groups should have the discretion to close, that there could be a list of potential reasons to close, but those were not the only reasons. And then records, notes, and recordings that are kept. And the dilemma was whether they are open to all, as in posted publicly, or should they be closed to members. And so right after the meeting last time, we hadn't resolved it yet, so I circulated a discussion thread. And I said that in our report, for transparency, we said that notes, minutes, or records of all membership meetings should be made publicly available. But then under participation, we said, number four, we said for any meetings, be they closed to members only or open to anyone, the members have to be able to access notes, meetings, or recordings subject to exceptions for confidential matters. The registry stakeholder group in their public comment said that this is confusing and inconsistent. Others echoed that comment, and the ITC and connectivity providers constituency made the same point. So the question for all of you was, how should we reconcile the good practice recommendations here? The immediate reply was Christopher Wilkinson, who had read our detailed report and said he would be willing to support it as is, and I thank Christopher for that. And then Farzi came up with an interesting idea to solve this inconsistency. He circulated it yesterday, suggests that the recommendation 5 be changed to say that the best practice, the good practice, is that notes, minutes, or records of all membership meetings should be made publicly available, to say notes, minutes, or records of all open meetings should be made publicly available. So the essence of that change, and I'll put it into the chat, maybe to make it a little easier to track, is that the notes, meetings, and records of all open membership meetings should be made publicly available. To that, Caboose replied a few hours later with what I think is even better, which is to clarify two ways. He takes what Farzi had indicated, that the notes, minutes, and records of all open meetings should be made publicly available. And then Caboose added a second good practice, which I'm pasting into the chat right now, which is that notes, meetings, and records of all closed meetings, if any, should be made available for the members or membership and should not be made publicly available. So we've tried to cover with Caboose's comment on top of Farzanay is try to cover both situations, that is to say open versus closed meetings and being publicly available versus available only to the membership itself. So I have that in the chat, and this would be a great time for us to do a public dialogue on whether these two good practices will reconcile our problem. And I did want to thank Farzi and Caboose for coming in on that. I see two hands up, Bernie, and then Greg, and then Caboose. But Bernie, you're first. Go ahead.
Thank you, Steve. A note on the second one for the members. Just for your information, in the Good Faith group, talking about members got us in trouble with the ASO. And so I don't know, I mean, I'm perfectly fine with the spirit of the recommendation. I'm just saying the ASO gets real serious heartburn with the word members in any kind of recommendation that it thinks it's going to have to do something with.
Thank you, Bernie. We'll be guilty on many counts if they come around to our report with that critical eye. We have mentioned members and membership many times without apology, because we believe that the ACs and SOs were created in the bylaws, and I realize that the ASO and IETF existed in a different way and have a broader constituency. So maybe we need a footnote to acknowledge that, but I doubt we can rip the word members or membership out of our report. Bernie? Your hand is still up, Bernie?
Yes. I'm not sure if it's a footnote or some sort of clarification somewhere, but I feel that if we publish this again and the ASO has time to look at it properly, that they're going to come up with that comment. If you have a footnote or anything that says, membership and members where applicable, understanding that some groups within ICANN don't have that, then we probably can save all ourselves a lot of problems. Thank you.
Good point, Bernie. Greg Shatton, then Caboose, and then Alan.
Hi, it's Greg Shatton for the record. I support Farzana's suggestion, but I have concerns with the second suggestion, and specifically saying that notes, minutes, and records of all closed meetings should not be made publicly available. That essentially makes it a not good practice to make any of those publicly available if you have a closed meeting. I will confess that the IPC's standard procedure since before I was involved and continuing until now is to have meetings of its members and then to post the minutes for all to see on our website. If I were to comply or have IPC comply with this best practice, I would have to take all of those minutes down or put them behind a member's wall. I don't think that's encouraging any kind of transparency or accountability. I think it is certainly appropriate when one takes minutes, one can take care to avoid exposing certain things that were not intended to be exposed while creating a public record. And I think that, in fact, I don't want to get into the fine points of what's a good practice and what's not, which is why I think Farzi's change, or even the second change without the second part, makes sense, but the last part does not. That way, at least, it leaves it open as to whether or not in a closed meeting one would distribute anything afterwards, and I'd rather leave that to discretion than try to fine-tune this to the nth degree. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg. When Cavus, you're next in the queue, and it would be good to address that sentiment. I think what Greg is saying is that it's one thing to say that Cavus, really quick, Cavus, just before you do, I'll repost it to the chat so everyone can see it. It's the last part of your suggestion where you said they should not be made publicly available, and Greg is saying that could that be omitted or softened to say that they are not required to be made publicly available. Go ahead, Cavus.
Yes, I put all sentences in positive way. I never say should not be. I said that open meetings, everything you mentioned, are available to public. Closed meetings, comma, if any, and after if any you need to comma, should be available to members. And you add footnote and saying membership includes members in capital M, participants, and if you want to add observers to add. So I would like to put in this way. I don't want to be vague. I don't want to be unclear. Make it quite clear. You should not be worried to add one more sentence. Although what Barzani says was absolutely right, and what Greg said is also right. But what I'm saying is good for the people like me that sometimes they lack the understanding of the language. So let us be quite clear. So the sentence I propose, if any, comma, and then continue, and put membership as you propose. I said member, it was not right what I said. You said correctly membership, and at the footnote, membership includes member with capital M, and then participants, and if you want to have observer or not. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Cavus. Cavus, this is Steve Del Bianco. I do want to return you to what Greg said. Perhaps you didn't hear it clearly. What Greg said is that for closed meetings, the IPC sometimes publishes the minutes, maybe not the recordings, maybe not the detailed notes, but they publish the minutes. And I have to agree that I've been part of many organizations where the minutes are sanitized, even from confidential members-only meetings, where the minutes simply reveal the high-level actions that were taken. So under the formulation that you suggested, you would be saying that it's a good practice that you not publish even minutes for closed meetings. And I think Greg has a very good point, is that minutes may be publishable even if it was a closed meeting. And so we ought not tell the IPC what you cannot or should not publish, but we simply say that it is not necessary. But it may be permitted to publish minutes of a closed membership meeting. And I think it's a pretty interesting point, and Cheryl is agreeing that the ALAC has a similar way to dealing with it. And I want to call people's attention to the four ways we refer to meeting records. We call them notes, minutes, records, and then in one part we use the word recordings. And I think we need to acknowledge that the recordings of meetings, such as this one, and transcripts are all part of this broad set of records. Craig is making the point of view that a set of minutes that are sanitized for confidential matters may be published even for membership meetings. So, Caboose, if you would, after Alan, get back in the queue, if you would, and please respond to that particular improvement. Alan.
Thank you. I forget what I was going to say, I think, but I'll make it up. All of these statements are loosely worded, and we need to be a lot more careful. Farzi's, for instance, as you've just pointed out, says recordings, only talks about the recordings being made available, not the other documents. Cavus's is better that it's all-inclusive and includes a variety of different types of media that might record the meeting, but does have the problem Greg mentioned. It can easily be fixed by instead of saying should not, is need not, or some other similar wording to allow them to be published. Our own ICANN board has closed private meetings but publishes minutes. So, you know, let's not say they're not allowed to do that anymore. It took us a long time to try to even get that and get them to have some content in them. But I want to go back to the issue of members. And first of all, as Caboose pointed out, we often have meetings where members is a technical term, and there are other people who are there at the meetings, and there's no reason to hide the record of the meetings from them. We call them participants, observers, whatever. Capitalizing words may or may not address that. I think we have to be really clear. And in addition to that, we have members of organizations, and I will reiterate what Bernie said. We have to be very careful, and we can probably cover it with a footnote defining member somewhere, but we have to be really careful that for groups like the ASO, where their members are organizations which have their own governance, and we cannot impose rules upon the ASO or upon the groups that are subsidiary to the ASO. So we're going to have to look at this no matter how many times we've already used the words, and no matter how many times we've published the drafts. We are going to have to be careful to make sure we do it properly. Thank you.
Alan, a couple of quick reactions before we go further into the queue. Farzi's text didn't use the word recordings. All Farzi did was simply add the word open in the middle of the phrase that we had. That is all that Farzi had.
Okay, sorry. I was looking at her "this means" sentence.
Okay.
My apologies.
So, got it. So she had just added the word open, and then Caboose didn't do anything instead of that. He added another line so that it was clear that it was a good practice that that closed meetings, if any, should not be made publicly available. And you, myself, and Greg Shatton seem to be saying, and Cheryl as well, that if the word should were changed to need not be made publicly available, we relieve any group of the expectation that they must publish closed meeting information, and yet we allow them to publish any aspect that they wish to share with the world. So by saying need not, I think we make a significant improvement on what Caboose had suggested, and several of us agree with that. We'll look forward to Caboose's reaction to that as well. And then I wanted to point everyone to page 4 of our document, where in response to John Curran, who told us many times that the activities of ASO and IETF exist outside of ICANN, and we shouldn't presume to tell them what to do outside of ICANN. On page 4, we added this phrase, and John Curran said, thank you. And the phrase was that the CCWG Accountability Workstream 2 only looked at SO and AC accountability within the scope of their ICANN activity. And when that was added, presumably that solved that problem. I don't know if the ASO will consider that to be appropriate with respect to the word member, but it made it clear we were only trying to cover what happens at ICANN. Alan, you're still in the queue?
I put myself back in the queue because of what you just said. you're using the ASO and the IETF as if they were equivalent. IETF is not part of ICANN. no way, no how. The ASO is a supporting organization, and one of the decisional members in the fundament in the empowered community, they are very different from the IETF. So let's not use them interchangeably. And so the ASO is one of the SOs we are talking about, and for that reason, we do have to be somewhat sensitive. Thank you.
All right, I'll paste into the chat the very latest iteration on the Caboose sentence, and then I'll put Caboose into the queue. Please look at the chat, and this is rephrased, Caboose. It's not the same thing that you typed. It says, if any, it's everything is the same except one word. So the word should not gets changed to need not. Caboose, are you cool with that? Go ahead.
Yes, Steve. I have no problem with any suggestion meets the consensus. What I said for the first one, open meeting, notes, records, minutes are available publicly. And then with full stop. And add, for closed meeting, comma, if any, comma, notes and records are not or should not be available to public. However, minutes of such meeting would be or could be or may be or should be available to the public. I don't go to the should not. I put in a positive passive, but not in a negative one. So that is what I said, and I fully comply with what Greg said and what other people said. So you want to separate the notes, the minutes, and I agree with that. Even for the closed meeting, the minutes will be later on available for public. But records and notes are not available. Thank you.
Thank you, Caboose. That isn't exactly the remedy that Alan and I and Greg had proposed. We were not suggesting that we delineate between notes and minutes, but instead, by changing the word should not to need not, we leave it to the discretion of the ACSO or group that when they have a closed meeting, if any, they decide what, if anything, to publish. And I would argue we not try to make fine distinctions between notes, minutes, records, recordings, and transcripts. Rather, if the IPC wants to publish all of the above for a closed meeting, they may. We're just simply saying that as a good practice, you need not disclose anything about a closed meeting. So that's currently the text that's in the chat, changing should not to need not. Alan, your hand is up.
I just wanted to point out the hilarity of a group on accountability setting up the best practice saying don't publish information under some circumstances. Just noting. Thank you.
And Alan, that note is why it makes sense to change the word should not to need not. Agreed?
That's why I said it.
Okay. I'm sorry. I have a full day of phone calls. I'm not catching the humor part of it, but I get the irony. I do. So Caboose, I think you might agree that need not covers it all without having to make fine distinctions between notes, minutes, transcripts, records, and recordings. Go ahead, Caboose.
Yes, no problem. Need not a little bit more stronger than should not. However, I wish, if you don't mind, you put the latest version on the chat that I can see that. You want to
it's right there.
The description, of the SOAC. I suggest the legal formulation unless otherwise decided by SO and AC, then you put it in there. That I leave it to you. Thank you. But I would like to have the final definitive suggestion in the chat. Thank you.
Caboose, it is there. It's right there in the chat, next to my name. We will circulate this, of course, with our notes on the meeting to see if others have further ways to improve it. But before we leave this topic, we did delineate five different ways, notes, minutes, records, recordings, and transcripts. And to be consistent, wherever we discuss meeting documentation with respect to item 5 and item 4, let's use the same list, notes, minutes, records, recordings, and transcripts. so that we're trying to cover the entire waterfront of the ways in which meetings can be reported. Everyone all right with that?
Yes, but what you talk about, the minutes should be in any case available. Where you address that? I understood from some people saying that in no matter whether meeting is closed or is open, the minutes should be made available publicly. Is it still that on the table or not? Thank you.
Thank you, Caboose. What is on the table now is two sentences. The first one we'll call it the Farsi sentence, and the second one is yours, but change the word should to not. You see? And by saying they need not, it means that they may. So in the chat, the first sentence I've just put in the chat was from Farsi, which was notes, meetings, and records of all open meetings should be made publicly available. And, of course, I'm proposing that that be changed to notes, minutes, records, recordings, and transcripts of all of the meetings should be made publicly available. The second sentence is the one of need not be for closed meetings. And I'll paste that into the chat again. Need not be made. And in both cases, we would try to clarify that we are talking about notes, minutes, records, recordings, and transcripts.
Cheryl here, Steve. Sorry to just jump in, and hopefully my audio is better. Alan has pointed out in the chat to use the word may be made available, so I think he's proposing a sort of not a change in intent, but a different set of terms to get to the same end game. Maybe Alan wants to speak to that.
Go ahead, Alan.
Yeah, I wasn't going to speak to the may. I was just addressing Caboose, that where he said they must be made, they should be made available, and I'm saying they may be made available. It's at the discretion of the group. I would suggest, I know we're talking about details, and I'm getting a little bit something about it, but I would suggest instead of having a long laundry list, we come up with one word, records, and then define what records mean. And records can mean minutes, recordings, transcripts, whatever, as applicable, because as we're wording it right now for open meetings, we're saying things like transcripts must be made available. We don't always have transcripts. These days, we now have chat scribes that are something different. So I would use one word, define it as whatever the various recording type things are for a meeting, and leave it at that, and use the word as applicable, because they vary from meeting to meeting. Thank you.
Alan, so instead of delineating the five different kinds of records, you would recommend adding the word records, and then defining records as notes, minutes, records, recordings, transcripts, chat, etc., as applicable.
Exactly.
Okay. That helps. And then now would you please speak to whether it should be need not or may? Alan, would you explain what you meant by may as opposed to...
I'm saying we could use a positive term, may be made available, or the negative, need not be made available. Both of them puts the discretion on the group. I think they're saying the same thing using a semantically different structure.
Mm-hmm. So the first sentence with respect to open meetings would have the word should be made publicly available, and the next sentence underneath it would read that for closed meetings, if any, they may be made available.
That's right.
They should versus may. And do we believe that that will be clear enough to the audiences in the future that will read these two sentences?
If not, add something in brackets to say it a third way.
Well, you know.
Sorry, I'm losing patience.
Exactly. Yeah, me too. Okay. I'll write this up, Cheryl, as a proposition, and I'll put it in the context of the document as opposed to a standalone email. We'll try to update table 4 and table 5. That's transparency and participation. So we'll see all this in the context of how it would look in the good practices page. I think that I'll be able to take it as an action item to send that around to the list afterwards. So, Cheryl, I think that that concludes the discussion. I see another hand up. Alan and Caboose, your hands are up. Go ahead.
I'm sorry,
yes,
that is an old hand.
I agree with the final conversations of Alan, saying that may not be available or may be available, maybe to the restriction of the group. And I agree to use one word, record, and perhaps to define what the record means with a footnote. Thank you.
Thank you, Caboose. You're basically agreeing with Alan's improvements there. I appreciate that. Thank you. So it's over to you, Cheryl, for the next item on our agenda.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Steve, and Cheryl, for the record. Well, that's good, because putting that somewhat well-massaged set of words back into our document and allowing that to be looked at in context will, of course, give those who are not at today's meeting another opportunity just to look at it again. But I'm feeling relatively happy where we're heading with this text. And I believe me, Alan, I think many of us understand the frustrations, but you also understand how important these terms are to get as right as we possibly can before we push them towards the plenary for final recommendation stage. And we do, of course, need to make sure that we keep getting it to final recommendation stage as our main game, but we also need to get them words there in as fine a form as possible. Well, thank you all for actually what was a very prompt conversation. If we think about how much time we can take to do some things, on getting some very important terminologies sorted out. One of the things we still need to do, however, is look at the different types of comments that's come in through our public comment, and as you can see, the amount of work that came out of one small section of discussion. So what Fazi and Stephen, I would like to do is ask you all, just before we move on to the next topic of public comment, how you best want to make sure that we meet our timelines and deadlines as we continue to develop our final recommendations. We're still relatively confident that once we've polished up these recommendations and put them towards the CCWG, that as you can see outlined in our next steps, the CCWG will hopefully not see the changes we have made as particularly significant, and therefore that these recommendations as finalised will not necessarily have to go out to a second public comment. But of course we can't predict that until we're at that point in time. So it is important that we keep within the limitations of the timeline, which of course was distributed, or I think it was distributed with an action item to do so, out of our last call. So if it's possible, I'd like to, if staff has it available, just project the timeline slide. And I'm going to actually ask Bernie if he would do for us, as he's done for some of our other meetings, no apologies for anyone who's been through this before. It's important, and repetition may help. But I do want to make sure that that our group is very, very clear on what our milestones and deadlines now need to be. Over to you, Bernie.
Thank you, Cheryl. This is the standard slide we've been showing for a while, but you'll notice that now we're all the way into August. This group is not on the top line because it's already produced a document for public consultation, and we are working on getting that resolved, which means it could be on the second track. Meaning there are two public consultations, and that would mean that the public consultation would start in the latter half of November. Given the type of comments we received, I'm uncertain what the advice of the plenary will be, if there will be a requirement for a full second public comment, depending on how you decide to address the comments that were made. You will also see that as we start the final round of public comments in late November, we're starting to consolidate in the bottom line our work stream two recommendations into a final report so that we can show that to the plenary and can have a public consultation on that. We will remind everyone that as we go through these public consultations and what the co-chairs have presented is that they expect any significant issues from the chartering organizations with any of our recommendations to be made ahead of time. Before, as we're doing public consultations on the individual subgroup reports and not wait for the consolidated report for public comment. The consolidated report will focus and should only deal with interdependency issues between recommendations of the subgroups where there is a link and that may cause some changes on one side or another. I think that should cover it, but I'll be glad to take questions if there are any.
I see both Cavus and Steve's hand up. My app doesn't show which person put their hand up first, though. So, Steve, if you don't mind, let's go to Cavus first. Over to you, Cavus.
Yes. I have no problem with the second public comment. What Bernie said is already in some of the notes from the co-chairs of the CCWG. And I think we should go ahead, provided that our objective is that by Abu Dhabi, we finish the work of this group. Is that right, or still we want to continue? Thank you.
Okay, Cavus, Cheryl here for the record. It would be ideal indeed if we could be finishing the work of our group by Abu Dhabi. Of course, we may have more work given to us from the plenary if indeed they decide that our recommendations do need to go out for a second public comment. So at the moment we are tracking well, but we certainly do not need or want to slip behind these major milestone dates. To you, Steve, now.
Thank you. It's my assessment of the public comments and plenary discussions that there is not significant support for the kind of changes that would require a second public comment. So it's not only that I prefer not doing a public comment again. That's not important. What matters is that the reaction from our colleagues in the plenary and the first round of public comments, I don't believe, would justify the kind of changes that would require a second public comment. So on that basis, I just asked Bernie to clarify for me. I can't tell from the table that's in the Adobe chat. But on the assumption that we were not going to go to a second round of public comment, but only to the plenary, when are you telling us we need to finish our draft report in order to present it to the plenary group?
Ideally, it would be, if we look at that bottom line, which stretches from December to early March, ideally, it would be at the beginning of that process. Yeah. Now, it can slip by even a month or two, but ideally, I would agree with Cavus that it would be a great way to close off the work of this group in Abu Dhabi, and that would mean that if we look at our dates for 7-day warnings, et cetera, to submit documents, the face-to-face meeting is Friday, 27th of October, and as such, the latest date to submit a document for that plenary is the 20th, Friday the 20th of October. If we want, that would be for a first reading. If we want Abu Dhabi to be a second reading, that would mean, and there are two meetings that are very close. So basically, as I said, we've got the face-to-face on 27 October, but we also have a plenary on 18 October. So if we were to get the documents on 11 October from you, we could submit them for the plenary on 18 October, and if there are no significant changes or calls or anything else, we can then re-present them for a second and final reading on Friday, 27 October, to close off the readings. I hope that's clear enough.
Thank you, Bernie. This is Steve's continuing. That is very helpful, and I think it is very doable for us. And I do want to clarify, we not only have to publish our updated final report, but we may, and I think Cheryl has suggested this on a previous call, we may also publish our response to the public comments that came in. And that might be a separate column next to each public comment that staff summarized, where we indicate how we accommodated, if we accommodated it. But it may also be a summary report of some kind, where we indicate what we've done with each of the public comments. So I think that's really doable, and thank you.
Sure, for the record, thank you very much, Bernie, for those particular dates, and I wholeheartedly agree. I think the aim is to see if we can have that first reading running on the October 18 plenary meeting and the second reading at the face-to-face. That does a number of things. It allows us to then, as individuals, focus our energies into other work groups, but it also allows the consolidation work to start in a timely manner, and hopefully allow that to be less complicated than it would be if we had everything coming in at once. One thing we will then be able to do is look very carefully to see if there's any interdependencies or issues that are teased out that affect our work or are affected from our work into the other groups as that consolidation goes on, and that, as we all recognised in a previous plenary, is a very important piece of work indeed as we put the final product together from the CCWG as a whole perspective. And Caboose, the only reason we would need to go to a second public comment is if the plenary decided. We're all working on the assumption that, in fact, our final recommendations will not be substantially changed, and there will be no need for us to do that. So let's hope that we don't end up making changes that are so substantial that the plenary does not agree with us. And while we're talking about changes, and thank you very much for taking the time to go through all of that in great detail. I think it is important, and I certainly am happy now we've got a couple of specific dates in terms of lodgements. So we're aspirationally aiming at 11 October. At this stage, so we can run a first reading on the October 18 plenary. That will be terrific. Christopher, your hand is up, or is it a... No, it's a... No, okay, that's all right. I saw something next to your name. Obviously, my eyes are blurrier than usual this morning. I apologise. You're just muted or something. So with that, let's now move to the next stage of work in hand, and that is get started on our next piece of public comment review. And hopefully, as we go through these comments, not all of them are going to take the great deal of interaction that this last one did. Some of them may, so let's continue through them as efficiently as possible. And with that, I think, Steve, you've got something primed ready for us to talk about. Is it the annual reports section of our best practices, or good practices, sorry?
Thank you, Cheryl. Steve Del Bianco here. There were four public comments on the notion of reporting. It was in best practices under track one. It's item five. I've pasted it in the chat. We concluded in our report that SOAs and groups should publish an annual report.
on what they've done in the prior year to improve accountability, transparency, and participation, describing where they might have fallen short and any plans for future improvements. We had four public comments on this item. ALAC said, taken together, they have concern about the impact we would have on groups since they are all volunteers. And I think that it is the ALAC suggesting that we have to be conscious of the workload, has a concern of workload. The non-commercial stakeholders group had the largest concern with the suggestion on an annual report. They think it would be time-consuming for the volunteers to produce and lend itself to bias, and other options might warrant consideration, like engaging the services of an external consultant to objectively produce such a report for the entire community. Gulp. Well, that scares me, considering the experience we've had with ICANN hiring outside consultants who don't know much about what we do. The third was from Mr. Santosh. Regularly assess the annual report really just went on to say that it should be adopted to fill these gaps. So I think they're suggesting that the annual report be even more detailed than we had suggested. And then the final was again by Mr. Santosh. He wants us at the end of the year to assess the efficacy of enhancing participation from diverse parts of the community. So I'd like to focus on where we go with this. Farzi, you were the suggester of the end report. It met with wide approval. We have four public comments, two from active participants, the ALAC and the non-commercial stakeholders group, questioning whether the effort is worth the gain on an annual report. Mr. Santosh is trying to go deeper into it, and I don't believe we will have support from the plenary or even on this group to expand the obligations of the annual report. So why don't we take a cue on what do we do with the good practice for annual report? Farzi, please.
Thanks, Steve. I think Bernie hand is up. I don't know. Okay, so I just say my point. So this suggestion, which was not supported by my own group, it's funny, I made a suggestion and they didn't like it. So basically what they are saying is that we are volunteers, especially for the non-commercial stakeholder group. We don't get paid, we cannot, we don't have the bandwidth. But what I think they don't consider is that this annual report can be like a one-page concept paper, what we have done on our accountability. Have we changed our bylaws? Did we come up with operating procedures? Did we decide to do this and that? It can be very lightweight. It doesn't have to be long. It doesn't have to be a special format or template, but just touch upon what they've done. And it can be a one-pager. And I think because I'm the chair of NCUC, they just want to make my life easier and not have to have this report. But I think if we clarify, I mean, I'm not insisting on it, and it's not really mandatory, but I'm not insisting on it, but I think we can have a very lightweight suggestion for reports.
Thank you, Farzi. It's possible that the word annual report conjured up the image of something really substantial. Alan, since we have you on the call, Cheryl, others from the ALAC, can the ALAC weigh in on your perspective, since it was the ALAC's comment that also said this could be an awful lot of extra work? Go ahead.
Yeah, it did say all told. It wasn't specifically to this one item. It was saying all these little things you're saying we should do to be squeaky clean and transparent and accountable are all adding up, and all of them together are starting to be something that might well be unreasonable unless there is really superb staff, and many of us do not have access to unlimited levels of staff support.
Thanks, Alan. Does the annual report sort of the straw that broke the camel's back here, is it one of the major items of new efforts that are described here?
I would not have described this as one of the major items, but it's certainly yet another one. I'm not sure I can conjure up the thought process that led to that sentence exactly. But it was essentially a long laundry list of things we should all be doing. And even if they are all applicable to the ALAC in our case, this all takes resources. And it's volunteers, and it's volunteers who don't even have a vested interest in seeing the success of the group as you might in the business constituency or in a registry, because none of us are employed in this business. So it's volunteer squared.
Thank you, Alan. And for the record, I know that the NCSG said it's too much work, and one other option is to hire an outside consultant. And I do not personally think that's a good idea at all. And it was only one group who made that suggestion. So, Farzi, this was your group, the NCSG. Was that sort of a throwaway option, or is it something you want us to address as a public comment, this notion of hiring an external consultant? And then we'll turn to Farzi.
Thank you, Steve. To be honest, I did not participate in drafting the comments, mainly because I was the rapporteur of this group and didn't want to influence their decision on how to address issues. I don't personally think it's a good idea to have an external consultant, and I don't think NCHG is very much sold to that idea and really want to implement it. So I don't think it will be a concern.
Right, and so I don't believe there's anyone in this group that would support our recommending the hiring of an external consultant. If anybody wants to argue to hire an external consultant, please speak up now, but we don't need others to weigh in agree that it's a bad idea.
Steve, I believe Bernie has his hand up, who I believe is an external consultant.
Good point. Bernie, your name being above the line there, I often miss it when you're up there in the host. So Bernie and then Caboose. Go ahead, Bernie.
Thank you. I technically am an external consultant. People have another name for me in many places. Just a note that I think the external consultant thing is not a good idea, and that I really support Farzi's point of let's keep it simple. And, how that is done and how that can be worked in, I don't know. One suggestion of possibly making this more palatable is that, SOs and ACs, have to go through, cyclical reviews anyways. And they it's always easier as per with major audits, if you've done minor audits all the way through. So maybe one way to make some of this stuff more palatable to everyone is that, yes, it's a requirement. I'm not sure it's a volunteer requirement. Possibly, policy staff could help, with this. The worst thing, in these things, in my experience, is doing the first year. And after that, it rather becomes a little formulaic, and people who have been following the work of an SO or AC all year can bang those out fairly quickly and provide them to the group for approval and comment. So those are my points if they're helpful. Thank you.
Thank you, Bernie. Caboose?
Yes, Steve. I'm sorry, I am not in favor of external activities at all. I have been in this business for many years. I have seen that external people, they are good writer people. They are good compositors for the text. But they come to the people, they get the information, put the things together, cut and paste, right to left, up to down, put them in a nice, colorful a folder and present it. I don't think that we need external entities. I don't think that we need to create jobs for external people. and whatever goes to external is much, much more expensive than internal. So I don't believe that we need that. So I disagree with that totally. Thank you.
Alan, you had your hand up.
Number one, I think we need to jump in.
I'm sorry. Cheryl, I have to jump in. I'm actually running another meeting in less than 5 minutes, and they're calling me now. So what I wanted to do is just hand over to you, Steve, to wrap up the meeting, noting that we've already covered item four, so you can stop this one at any point and raise any AIs and remind everybody of our next meeting date and time. I apologise, I just have to get off this call now. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. In the chat, I put a revised formulation of this report requirement to make it less of an annual report. So review that as you consider your comments here in the 4 minutes remaining.
Yeah.
I think, Alan, you were saying something.
Yeah, I was. Although all of our best practices have, you know, you should consider them, this might be one you want to add the words explicitly in it. Of ACNSO should consider an annual report. And that lessens the whatever as much.
Alan, look at what I have in the chat. What if it said they should consider annually publishing a brief report?
Yeah. If you add the word consider, then I have absolutely no pushback at all for it. I think it's fine.
Yeah. So the word brief report instead of the word annual report, but I kept the word annually in there.
Yeah. I do like the word consider, which you just said, but you did not write.
That's right, because you said it after I wrote it.
Okay, thank you. Someday they'll invent a chat with an editing capability.
Hey, no, Caboose, you must be having a tough connection. Nobody on this call wants to do an external entity. We have no interest in that. We are acknowledging it was in the comment from the NCSG, but there is no support. Don't worry. Okay, we are close to the top of the hour. I will make this revision with respect to four of the public comments on the annual report part. We will revise our text accordingly, and that'll be in the next Google Doc that goes out. But I'll also send an email indicating where the change is, because I don't think it's fair to ask all of you to read 30-some pages to find out where the changes are. So we'll try to put two things out. One is the earlier discussion on the publication of records of meetings, and the second is the playing down the length and urgency of the annual report. So those are the only two changes we got done today, and I think for our next call, it'll be necessary to go through the summary of public comment and see which ones we have not yet covered off. I still would love to have some help from another volunteer on this team to do that. All of the comments were summarized already by Bernie, and I circulated them with the last email. I'll recirculate them in preparation for our next call, but we really ought to, if we focus, we ought to be able to complete our work. There are a couple of controversial comments, and they have to do with whether we have adequately addressed the issue of capture. And if we haven't addressed the issue of capture, it may require extensive edits to our good practices, not just something like wordsmithing like we're doing right now. I see Caboose with your hand up with only 1 minute
yes,
to go.
I'm sorry, because you may be in any other business. Steve, I will not be available for next meeting. I am in the airplane, and also I request Bernie to kindly exclude me from any meeting from 16th to 23rd of August. I may not be available for any meetings. Please kindly inform others. I'm very sorry to disturb you, but I may not be able to do it timely. But from 16 to 23rd August, I am traveling. I'm not available to any meeting. And thank you very much, and have a nice time.
Thank you, Caboose. All right, with that, folks, we will terminate this call. Our next call is on the 10th of August at 0500 UTC. Thanks, everyone. Watch your emails.
10th, I will be available. Up to 16, I am not available. Thank you.
I understand, Dan Caboose. I was simply telling everybody when our next call is. Bye, all.